The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and this is a emergency podcast because the New York Jets have traded officially Jamal Adams, the disgruntled safety, former first round pick, top five pick. They traded him to the Seattle Seahawks. Joining me now to break it down, Ryan Wilson, who's feeling a little bit dangerous.
That what you do?
That joke, if you watch us on YouTube, by the way. All of our shows, the emergency pods, the regular pods, the mailbag pods, every show available on YouTube. And if you watch this show on YouTube, you can watch me take a sip of a delicious beer out of an old Tuffy glass, but I'm not drinking an old Tuffy. I'm drinking a Triple Crossings double IPA because it's Saturday at 5:30 and I'll do what I want. Also, shout out to Ridgewood Wine and Beer in Raleigh for hooking it up. My buddy Pat there to take care of me. If you're ever in Raleigh, stop by Ridgewood. Tell him Brinson sent you.
Pat. Hey, quickly, I got a question for you. Your buddy's supposed to send me some beer a while ago. I haven't gotten that beer yet.
Which buddy? Chris from New Belgium. I'll follow up with him. Maybe he's taking the Brinson approach to it where you promise to send beer and then don't.
Right. Over promise, under deliver. Way to go, Chris.
Absolutely. Welcome to my life. Anyway, Jamal Adams, the Jets, I got to tell you, the Jets got a good haul. They got two first round picks and a third round pick in exchange for Jamal Adams and a fourth round pick. Now, let's start with this
knee jerk reaction.
Wow.
For whom?
No, my knee jerk reaction was I liked that the Seahawks were bold, but I don't like the price that they paid.
That knee jerk is, oh my God, the Jets won something. That's the knee jerk reaction.
Yeah. That's fair. I mean, I really thought that just because of where Jamal Adams was, at the stage of his career, with where he was at the stage of his contract, with
was this his fifth year option or not even?
He was going into his fourth year.
Oh, wow. So he had virtually no leverage.
He had no leverage whatsoever.
But the Seahawks saw it differently.
Yeah, I mean, Jamal Adams has said previously, prior to being dealt, that he would be willing to play out his deal elsewhere, or he'd be willing to continue playing on his current rookie contract elsewhere, somewhere where he believed that they would negotiate in good faith. He didn't believe that the Jets were ever willing to extend him at the price that he wants to be extended. And what therefore tops Eddie more than Eddie Jackson makes top safety money.
So that's 14-6. Kevin Byard's next at 14-1. Tyron, play the button. Play the Tyron sound.
Tyron Mathieu.
He makes $14 million. So we're talking north of 14-6 for Jamal Adams.
I think it was $15 million a year. That's what he wants.
Do you have Stephen O's numbers in front of you? If you don't, I do.
I don't. Go ahead.
So Stephen O, our guy at CBS Sportsline, who's a math whiz and does all the numbers and runs all the simulations. Jamal Adams with Seattle. Before Seattle, they were projected to win 9.2 games. With Jamal Adams, what would be your guess the Seahawks are now projected to win?
You said 9.2 without? Yeah. 9.3.
9.4. So is that worth $15 million a year? Taking nothing away from Jamal Adams, the player, one of the best safeties in the league, no doubt about it. But he plays a position where it depends. I mean, he plays closer to the line of scrimmage. He's more of a run support guy. Yes, he can cover, but $15 million a year is a lot. And that's on top of the fact that you have to do that in a year and a half, 2 years, whatever, after giving up two first-round picks, a third-round pick, and Bradley McDougal, right?
Now, and that's right, Bradley McDougal, good call. I'm going to play devil's avocado here, Larry. I'm going to get that sound drop. Devo, make a note. Need some 30 Rock, Tracy Jordan sound drops.
Noted, Will.
Duly noted.
I was wondering if you were going to actually acknowledge the note that I requested. At any rate, devil's avocado here. Jamal Adams, it's possible, is the best safety in football and is being underutilized by the Jets' defensive scheme that asked him to be a box safety, and that if he's placed in this Seattle scheme where we have seen safeties like Earl Thomas thrive, that he could be an absolute monster and a blue chip player for the Seahawks for the next. I mean, this guy is 24 years old, or maybe he just turned 25. Well, he'll turn 25 in October. And this is a really young player, an ascending talent, a difference maker on the defensive side of the ball. And unfortunately for the Seahawks, not a pass rusher, which is what they really need. But I do think that there is an argument that Adams comes in and is impactful on his rookie deal, which is very cheap, and that the Seahawks let him play out his rookie deal and his fifth-year option and then extend him after the salary cap goes back up in a post-pandemic world, and that he alters their defense, gets him back to being a top 15 defense, because they haven't been really lately, and that as a result of that, the Seahawks are a much better football team. That's the argument. Your thoughts?
I'm not convinced he's something more. He's not a center fielder, I don't think. And I would just point to Jim Nagy, the head of the Senior Bowl, director of the Senior Bowl, who was also a scout for the Seahawks for the longest time, tweeted this out shortly after the trade. He said, some will say the Seahawks gave up too much for box safety, which is what we're talking about here. We get it, but that role is designed to be a playmaking position in Pete Carroll's defense. And he made reference to Cam Chancellor, who made a huge impact in that spot. And I don't think anyone would disagree that Cam Chancellor, as a part of the Legion of Boom, was a big part of the reasons. And we talked about it. You'll hear about it on Monday's podcast, I think, where I get slam dunked on for not giving enough credit to the Legion of Doom, that defense that won the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I get that. But I don't know if he's – I mean, who's the best free safety in the NFL? You know who I think it is.
Minkah Fitzpatrick?
Minkah Fitzpatrick's there. Devin McCourty's there. Anthony Harris is there. Justin Simmons is there. Jimmy Ward, maybe you could put him in the conversation. But I mean, in terms of coverage, how good is?
Well, see, that's the argument, and I would say this: Cam Chancellor was awesome. If he is Cam Chancellor, I don't know that you give up two first round picks.
No, you don't. Cam Chancellor was a day three pick because I think they thought he was slow and all that, but clearly he wasn't. But
if he's Earl Thomas, then the trade is worth it.
Wait a second. How much did the Steelers give up for Minkah Fitzpatrick?
You're like my wife.
Thank you.
Stop comparing events.
What about ism? That's what you say in politics. What about this, though?
No, look, the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade.
It looks like a fleecing now.
It certainly looks like a better deal than...
Two first-round picks, a third-round pick, and Bradley McDougal, who isn't bad. Our buddy Andy Benoit, who watches more tape than anyone, not in the NFL, maybe some people more than the NFL. One thing to remember, Andy tweets out. That's a different Andy tweet. Let me find the other one. Bradley McDougal this is another one about the Seahawks. But this one is Bradley McDougal is a quality, strong safety as well. The Jets' creative two-deep zone-oriented third-down scheme is not overly demanding on D-backs. So the implication is that Bradley McDougal can come in, Greg Williams' scheme, and probably have some success immediately on a defense that wasn't bad last year.
Yeah.
And a third-round pick and two first-rounders.
I mean, Bradley McDougal is sort of a throwaway here.
But he can come in and play. He's not a throwaway, I would imagine, in the mind of Greg Williams and perhaps Joe Douglas, because he can come in and play, right?
No, I mean, it helps. I mean, it definitely helps. I just think with with Jamal Adams. If he
and by the way, sorry, the Jets drafted the kid from Cal to play safety as well. So that's, they also have.
I loved him.
I know. He's from Cal. I can never remember anyone's name after the drafted. I'll look it up real quick.
It is amazing how quickly you do that.
Was that Ashton Davis?
Ashton Davis. Thank you, Debo. Yeah.
Sean would have gotten it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sean's, you know, went to Cal.
But right. So they have contingency plans.
Worried it sounds like we're missing Sean. We don't miss Sean. I like Sean, but man, we don't miss him.
Small doses with Sean.
If you look at approximate value, we use it a lot when we talk about this on the podcast. It's Pro Football's references metric for determining the value of a season in the context of history, and then of course across compare across positions, et cetera, et cetera. Cam Chancellor had one season above 10 in terms of approximate value.
Yeah.
Earl Thomas had six of them with Seattle. So if you get Earl Thomas, as a safety, then I don't mind giving up two first round picks for him. If you get Cam Chancellor and you just get a box safety, I don't think that's a great deal.
It's not two first round picks. It's two first round picks, a third rounder and a part-time starter. A third rounder is huge.
Sure. Yeah. No, yeah. Sure.
So worth noting, according to our buddies at Football Outsiders, last season the Jets were 18th against the pass, second against the run. The Seahawks were 15th against the pass, but only 26th against the run. Jamal Adams helps against the run, but I don't know if you give that much for a guy to help you get better in the run game.
One other thought, I noticed this, I can't remember who, somebody tweeted it, but I don't remember who it was. Anyway, the Seahawks are basically set. I mean, the Jets, excuse me, are basically set Sam Darnold's rookie contract window on fire. Like, this is them saying we're not in for 2020. So I'm out on the Jets.
Wait, why? Just because they got rid of Jamal Adams?
I just think when you trade your second best player, or maybe your best player.
All right, go ahead. I'll rebut. Go ahead.
A month before the season. I don't mind the value. I think Joe Douglas did a great job getting the value. Jamal Adams wasn't happy. He didn't want to play for this team. He didn't want to be part of this organization. I just think when you trade one of the two best players on your team, if not the best player on your team in late July, that you're sort of raising a white flag.
If it were a quarterback, sure. But we just read off Stephen O's numbers. The Seahawks go from 9.2 to 9.4 win totals with the addition of Jamal Adams.
Where did the Jets go?
Let me see if he added that. The Jets. All right, here we go. Before the trade, Stephen O's projections had him winning 6.1 games. What do you think it is without Jamal Adams?
5.9.
5.8. You've been off by a tenth of a point each time. So there. I mean, they're not giving up on the season, and they are stacked. They are in good position. They're not stacked. They're in great position going forward to make this team better around.
No, for sure. Look, Mike Maccagnan was a terrible general manager for the Jets. The only two good things that he ever did, and I mean this when I say ever, I mean ever. The only two good things he ever did, one, was draft Jamal Adams. Two, trade a bunch of second-round picks to move up to get either Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen, only to have Sam Darnold fall in his lap accidentally. And he never did anything to benefit from those smart moves, including, you know, signing Jamal Adams to a contract. Not that he had the option, because he's just eligible this offseason. But, you know, it's a different regime, et cetera, et cetera. I think Joe Douglas has put the Jets in a position where if Sam Darnold is the guy, they have four first-round picks coming up in the next 2 years, when we should see the salary cap dropping as a result of the pandemic, or at least flattening out, and you have these guys on cost-controlled numbers on these rookie deals. If he hits on three of those four or two of those four players, the Jets are going to make a significant boost. I mean, this is, you know, like, you go out and have a great draft or great two drafts in a row, and all of a sudden the Jets, you know, you feel like they might be able to contend.
Well, something else. No Tom Brady. So the division's wide open. I think everyone likes the Bills. I think we're on board with that. I think maybe you're still on the Pats bandwagon if Cam's healthy. Is that right? All right. Fair enough. But also, is there any other defensive coordinator other than Rex Ryan, maybe, and then Bill Belichick, of course, that does a better job with a bunch of no names than Greg Williams?
Are we pumping at Greg Williams? This is what's happening.
I like his fake beard and those dark eyeglasses. Like, he's up to something. But
no, he's not up to something. He's like, he's trying to hide his image. He's trying to make people not realize he was the Bounty Gate guy. So it's like one of those terrible hat, fake mustache disguises. You're like, oh, they won't know who I am. It's like
I can never remember names of that Val Kilmer movie where he played like 12 different disguises.
Was so it, you know what? It's, oh gosh. It's on the tip of my head.
I have it. You ready?
No, it's not the angel. It's the
New Orleans.
Oh, it's the saint. Yeah.
Saint, yeah. He's the saint. He's Val Kilmer and the saint.
Bill Simmons has like a huge, like, can you say hard on? He has a hard on for the saint in theory.
Oh, he likes that movie. That movie's terrible.
I was listening to Rewatchables recently and there was somebody was, they were talking about it. He's like, the saint. He was listening to like the greatest action movies of the late '90s and the saint was on there. The saint is on Netflix right now along with, do you remember Swordfish?
Oh yeah, there's one reason I remember Swordfish.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the only reason
that I remember Swordfish. That movie holds up very well.
That is literally the only reason I watched Swordfish 15, 20 years ago.
And of course, Ryan is referring to John Travolta's getting out of the car and doing the spin backwards away from the car.
Absolutely. But, Greg Williams is Val Kilmer in the Saint with that get up. That said, I mean, he does a lot with a little as a defensive coordinator when he's not bounding people up. So I'm not concerned that much in either Stephen O's projections. That Jamal Adams, who I think is a great player.
Jamal Adams didn't like playing a Greg Williams scheme.
And he was actually really good in it. But I love Jamal Adams. I think he's fantastic. We talked him in the Super Bowl. He was great. But I don't think his loss is going to determine whether the Jets, you know, go to the playoffs or not.
Okay, that's fair. I just think I'm out on the Jets now. I think I'm.
Oh, you were teetering?
I was teetering.
All right, fair enough.
So I'm out on the Jets. And we're out on the first half of the podcast. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more Jamal Adams.
Oh, you can watch The Saint free on Pluto, too, by the way, FYI.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
That's right. Ryan's segue to break. Pluto plugs. Pluto. You should check out Pluto TV. How do you know that? How do you know you can watch it on Pluto?
I literally Googled Val Kilmer disguise movie so I can remember the name of the saint. And then it shows you where you can watch it.
Pluto is fantastic.
Yeah, you can watch CBS Sports HQ.
Yeah, you could if you wanted to. Or The Saint.
Or The Saint.
You can also just watch The Saint on Netflix. They did a huge dump of 90s action movies.
I'm down with that.
Ones. What else did they put out there?
Debo, do you have a favorite 90s action movie? I have a couple.
Oh, I do.
Go ahead, Brinson.
The Fugitive.
Oh, that's up top shelf.
Are you talking about like a favorite crappy 90s action movie?
Either one. The Fugitive is legit.
Okay, so if we're not talking actual legitimate movies that we like, then the obvious answer would be Face Off.
That's a terrible movie. Like, I'm not a huge Face Off guy.
It's pretty good.
Con
Air?
Con Air is certainly watchable.
Can we go like Point Break?
Oh, I mean.
Yeah, of course. Is that 90s or 80s?
Point Break is definitely 90s.
Oh, okay.
94 would be my guess for Point Break.
One of my, that sounds too late.
95.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know if that's right.
91.
91. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
I got to go with, Total Recall.
Total Recall is on, Netflix too right now.
I love that movie so much. Really? Running Man isn't bad either, but that's 87. I just looked that up.
Yeah, that's not the '90s.
Bad Boys is in there, right?
I watched Bad Boys the other day on Netflix. I'm telling you, they did a huge dump of like 90s action flicks.
The thing is, you can't make these movies now because no one will see them and it will lose tens of millions of dollars.
I think Bad Boys would hold up now.
But you don't, I mean, no one's releasing those type of movies, are they?
I mean, they did Bad Boys 3
like,
and.
Why are you wasting our time? We're so busy being smart and intellectual. It's like,
what'd you say, Debo?
Martin Lawrence. You know it's a great Martin Lawrence movie that I don't know if it's in the '90s or 2000s?
What?
Blue Streak.
99.
Oh yeah. Love it. That counts it.
Debo knew that off the top of his head.
Yeah, I didn't even have to look that up.
Really?
Early Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. Dave Chappelle is the criminal in that. That's right. I might go watch Blue Streak. I watch Blue Streak Netflix.
And then those crazy movies with Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes. What are those just two super sci-fi crappy movies? Sandra Bullock's in one of them. I can watch those all day.
Oh, Speed.
No. Sandra Bullock, Wesley Snipes.
the net.
No, you're not. Sylvester Stallone.
Cliffhanger.
Jesus Christ. I got to look it up because I can't remember anything anymore. I need to take that cognitive test.
Man, woman,
computer. You know, person's right. Person, man, person, woman, man, camera, TV. That I know.
Person. That was weird. What's the Sylvester Stallone movie you're talking about?
Hold on. I'm looking it up. I have to look up everything.
Riveting podcast.
Demolition Man.
Oh, yeah. With Wesley Snipes.
Yep.
And they poop in the shells.
And there's another one there.
Where's the toilet paper? We use the shells here. By the way, John Breach, thank God John Breach texted us. He's going to get this podcast back on track. He's driving to Cincinnati. He's on to Cincinnati.
On to Cincinnati.
To see his parents and family.
I think they see the baby for the first time.
He is driving and texting with a small baby in the car, giving out trade grades. He actually asked us, what grade would you give the Jets for this trade? Oh, Breach. Oh, we have Sean's grade. Do we care about Sean's grade?
Where did he give that grade? No one cares. Sean's a lawyer.
Yeah. Sean, you're out of the business.
Did he tweet that, Sean?
No, he just texted us, A-, but I like it for Seattle, too.
I feel like we have to institute a limit for Sean references, just like we have a limit for the Dick Vitale clip.
Way to go, Devo. Devo's right, of course, but Brinson will
not. I want to say that, when did Sean leave?
July 6th was the final time he appeared on a podcast.
Yeah, we're talking about
like, August 1st. We just stopped talking about Sean.
Done.
We have to at least make him, because he's going to keep listening to the podcast. We have to at least make him think that we.
That's right. It's like when you get dumped in high school and you keep talking about your girlfriend. You have to at least let her think that you're over.
John Breach says he would give him a B or B plus.
Why a B?
Yeah, I don't get that. Apparently Patrick Walker gave them a C plus.
The Jets?
How can you give them a C plus? They got two first round picks, a third round pick, and Bradley McDougal.
Look, I don't know why you give them an A minus, to be honest.
You need McDougal. Yeah.
Or higher for the Jets. C, if I'm feeling charitable. God, two first round picks, a third round pick. Look, if you win the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, that's great. It's a 32nd pick. But there's no guarantee in that division. Well, I mean, it's going to be tough.
Let's see. The Seahawks, I got to close out all these blue streak.
Judge Dredd was the other one I was looking for.
Judge Dredd's bad.
That so bad it's good.
Terrible. So the Seahawks have picked, when they've used their first round picks the last several years, 27, 29. Oh,
that's right. They make a lot of crazy picks. That's 27, true.
27, no first round pick. 31, no first round pick. No first round pick. No first round pick. 15. The last time they picked in the top half of the league was 2012 when they drafted Russell Wilson in the third round, and they took Bruce Irvin at 15. Bruce Irvin, Bobby Wagner, Russell Wilson. That's a decent start to a draft.
And look, no first-round picks mean they can't draft Rashad Penny the next 2 years, so that's good as well.
Yeah, somebody else made the joke. It's like, oh, they won't overdraft a running back or a unathletic linebacker or pass rusher. So they got that going for them.
LJ Collier was a shock, I'll be honest.
Yeah, oh yeah, every draft pick by the Seahawks is a shock. So I'll give the Jets an A, and I would be fine with an A plus. The only reason I don't give them an A, you know, I'll give them an A minus actually, because I do think that there is something bad about not being able to keep, like we kill the Jaguars when they trade Jalen Ramsey, even though they got two first round picks back. Like you just have to be able to keep your young talent. If you can't keep your young talent in-house, it's never going to work out where you're a good football team over the long haul. And it's not like they're getting rid of Jamal Adams a year too early. He's 24. Like, he's going to be a really good player for the next 5 years.
The difference is the Jaguars did not have a quarterback the Jets do. I think that was a big part of it, that we crushed them. But, I mean, in retrospect, the Rams ain't doing exactly great with their lack of draft picks and salary cap up against the wall and not winning football games.
No, look, I think if this were one first round pick and a third round pick, I think we'd be questioning the Jets a little bit more. But two first round picks is just good. Like now all of a sudden you're probably going to have, you know, the 10th, let's say the 10th, somewhere in the 10th to 15 range for your first pick, and then somewhere in the 20 to 25 range for your second pick. And those, you can do a lot with those two picks in back to back years including combining them to move up and get a stud player or landing, you know, two players if it's a deeper draft. And so I think this is very – Joe Douglas appears to be trying to build the Jets in the right way.
They could have six picks and the first 100 picks next draft if they are a 6-1 team, something like that.
Yeah. Le'Veon Bell was tweeting in the middle of it. I just think it's tough. What is the message that it sends to the young players on the Jets? Like, hey, if you make an all-pro team in your first 3 years, you probably won't get a contract extension and we might trade you. You know, I mean, it's
what it says more about Adam Gase's future. Because so
Adam Gase, or no, Jamal Adams said this about Adam Gase, by the way, on Friday. He told Manish Mehta, friend of the podcast. I don't feel like he's the right leader for this organization to reach the promised land. As a leader, what really bothers me is that he doesn't have a relationship with everybody in the building. Do you think, Ryan, that that quote and those comments to Manish expedited this deal?
If so, more players will be speaking out because that shouldn't be that the employers can tell the employee or the employees can tell the employers how to what they want to happen. I mean, if good for Jamal Adams, if that's exactly what he wanted to happen. I don't think he's lying. I would imagine that, you know, we've heard before that Adam Gase's relationship with his players isn't, you know, great in terms of, I'm not saying he has to be their best friend or their babysitter, but in terms of basically what Jamal Adams talked about. So I would imagine that's a concern. And we say it every year. Adam Gase's teams underachieve. He's supposed to be an offensive genius. And a lot of times things don't seem to work out, even though he may know more about football in his brain than the people he's playing against. It doesn't show itself in the way he game plans and the way his players play.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And look, if we're doing winners and losers from this trade, Jamal Adams is a big winner.
Jets are a huge winner, and Jamal Adams is 1B.
Yeah.
Is he going to get paid in a year and a half or sooner, and he's going to a good team. He's going to win a lot of football games. He'll probably go to the playoffs. All things I would imagine that he wanted.
And Seattle has shown a willingness to pay guys. Didn't they give Percy Harvin a huge extension if they traded for him?
Yeah.
Graham when they traded for him? That was a dumb trade.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
Yeah, they are not afraid to be aggressive to trade for guys. And look, again, you know, devil's avocado here. You've got a window with Russell Wilson and a roster that had you within a couple of plays of making the NFC Championship last year. Or heck, you were one pass interference call away from being the number one seed in the NFC and winning the division, winning the NFC West. So, you know, I think that adding Jamal Adams is the kind of, I mean, I get that Stephen O's numbers don't say that. Don't give it, you know, it's not going to put him over the top and have him win like 14 games, but maybe that's the difference maker. Maybe he's the difference in taking down San Francisco. Maybe his ability to get inside, get in the box, and to
he makes one or two plays in conference games or in division games, and you know, you win 1.5 more games. Sure.
By the way, Jamal Adams, who's at Prez, PREZ on Twitter. To New York and especially the Jets fans, I love you, always love you. You all will hold a special place in my heart forever. When I came into the league, you embraced me and watched me grow. We went through it all together. Thank you for the love and support these 3 years. Hashtag Prez out.
Good for him.
How did he get the Prez handle in 2014?
Ooh.
It's pretty crazy. How did he get the Prez handle? Or maybe he had it before?
What's that he joined? I think Debo said he joined in 2014.
Oh.
I think that's
get on that White House.
Huh. I think he used to be Washington football team. He had to trade it for Prez. That was the trade.
All right. Anything else to add on Jamal Adams to the Seahawks?
No, good for him. Good for the Jets.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Oh, Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney's trending on Twitter. Do you think that this matters for Jadeveon Clowney's future?
I didn't feel like he was necessarily going back to Seattle the last few weeks anyway. Did you?
I think he's going to Tennessee. I think he's going to wait until training camp gets here. First of all, you can dodge the Rona. Second of all, you can see if somebody needs pass rush help. And nobody knows that they need pass rush help until they get to training camp and start watching it. If they need training, like I would assume that Jadeveon Clowney's value only goes up through the course of training camp.
Interesting. I do wonder what his value is going to be in terms of an annual salary. It ain't going to be 20.
Well, I think part of the problem too is that he wants a 1 year deal. Maybe it's disguised as a 2 year deal. He wants $20 million on a 1 year deal, and that makes it pretty tough because teams just don't have salary cap space. The salary cap freeze or drop is making life much more difficult for Jadeveon Clowney. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, if it's 175 next year, down almost $25 million. Yeah, because I think there are 8 teams right now that will have to cut a bunch of players to get under the salary cap. Should it be 175 in 2021? So, yeah.
All right.
Is this a hot take? Jadeveon Clowney, whatever he signs this year, will be less than what Jamal Adams' new contract will be? $15 million?
Less per year? No, I think he'll make more than that.
All right. Well, my hot take is he doesn't.
Okay. That would, if Jadeveon Clowney gets less than $15 million this year, that is, somebody's getting fired. He signs him and steals him for $15 million. All right. That is the Jamal Adams Emergency Podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for Ryan for taking your Saturday day off and jumping on. Debo, of course, sits in his chair and waits for NFL news to happen so we can podcast. Thanks everybody for watching on YouTube. Talk to you guys later.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.